Leagues Radio Sport.
Very good evening and welcome to the last Friday Sport preview of 2025. The approaching end of the year, though, doesn't mean we're without a busy sports schedule on Ireland this weekend. Coming up tonight, the Premier League's top two meet in a big clash in Manx football as league fixtures continue at a furious pace this weekend. In rugby, Douglas face one of their top-of-the-table rivals in Regional 2 North West tomorrow, whilst a trio of other Ireland sides prepare for their respective final matches of the calendar year. A doubleheader of Mixed Cup finals awaits on Saturday in Isle of Man hockey, and we hear from two Manx motorsport competitors on the importance of being able to talk about the challenges and tough times that occur in racing. That is all to come this evening. Welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. I'm Rob Pritchard and our team of correspondents with you here over the next hour looking ahead to the latest sporting action as we delve further into December and, of course, edging towards the end of the current calendar year. First off, this evening, we're doing things a little bit differently because we're going to be taking a look at hockey. And, of course, we did have ourselves a little bit of a hiatus, I suppose, by hockey standards last weekend. The indoor finals taking place. But coming up this weekend on Ireland, we have the first two of three Mixed Cup finals at the end of the Mixed 2025 season, and also a trio of Isle of Man national teams are going to be on the road this weekend as well. To go through everything with us is our hockey correspondent Ben Cunningham. So Ben, very good evening first of all, and well, it was a bit of a break for you last weekend, wasn't it? That must have felt a bit strange.
It felt very strange, the fact that all the sport was going on and there was nothing for me to do. I felt a bit left out.
Well, there's plenty for you to get your, teeth back into, if you like, to coin a phrase this weekend. Actually, before we get to what happens this weekend, let's talk about last weekend because, of course, the indoor finals took place across Manx hockey as well. The respective finals seeing several finals taking place at the NSC in Douglas. Well attended, of course, and it meant that the two men's, two women's divisions and two mixed divisions were all up for grabs. So, Ben, just very generally to start with as well, bringing to an end, we've already seen the mixed outdoor league season come to an end, but the mixed indoor season coming to close. We had some thrilling contests as well, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, a couple of them were very, very, very well contested. I think most of them were just one goal between them. So it was great end to the mixed indoors and men's and ladies indoor season, as well as the mixed outdoor leagues. I mean, you couldn't have wrote that at the end of the season in Mixed Division 1. Four teams and 13 mathematical ways that division could have gone. It was quite a fairy tale ending, really, to a fantastic mixed season.
Indeed, just looking through a couple of these results as well and some of the winners as well. Bacchus A winning the men's premiership final 4-1 against Vikings A, and the women's premiership final, Vikings A coming out on top. They're only just up against Valkyries A by 3-2. And well, for Bacchus, it's been a very successful mixed season so far, hasn't it? We've seen what the teams have been achieving in the outdoor leagues, but to see them also in the mixed premiership as well, of course, Bacchus A beating Vikings A by 6-5. What a game that was as well. So as a club, I'm sure they'll be pretty happy with how the mixed season has gone so far.
Absolutely. And I mean, like you say, you only need to look at Bacchus A this year, undefeated in the mixed Premier League and scoring so many goals and only conceding just over double figures. So a fantastic campaign, and they've got a cup final next weekend.
Indeed they have. And just a reminder actually as well, just ahead of what we're going to talk about with regards to the Mixed Cup finals, in a little bit of a deviation from previous years, usually the all three finals, the Mixed Cup, Mixed Plate and Mixed Bowl, are all held on the same day. That has had to change this year because of three Isle of Man senior national teams being in England Hockey Championship action this weekend. The Mixed Cup final, which is due to take place this weekend between Bacchus A and Castletown Celts, that has been moved back by 7 days. That will now take place at the NSC on Saturday the 20th of December. But Ben, let's turn our attention then to what is going to be taking place this weekend. We'll start off with a doubleheader of finals over at the NSC in Douglas. The first of those will be a 12:30 p.m. pushback, and that's going to see Castletown Camags, the Mixed Division 2 champions this season, up against Vikings D.
Yeah, and this one I think will be a very close game, because Castletown Camags coming out as champions in Mixed Division 2, Vikings D runners-up in Mixed Division 2. So it makes a great game in the process. Vikings D, though, have scored lots of goals going forward, as have Castletown Camags. So both teams can score plenty. Whose defence is going to be stronger on the day? Your umpires for this one are Dan Hurd and Will Wiseman, two new umpires this year. So it's great to see them making a big name for themselves, umpiring in the mixed bowl final.
Absolutely, yeah. Great to see more people getting into umpiring and officiating in the sport, as indeed in any sport here across the Isle of Man. Straight after that, at 2:30 p.m. is the mixed plate final, and that's going to see Valkyries B, who so dramatically won the mixed Division 1 title this season, up against one of the sides that they pipped to the post, Backers C at the NSC in Douglas, as I mentioned. So Backers C maybe out for revenge here, Ben?
Absolutely, I think they will be. Backers C, of course, they were leading the league right up to the very end, and then just at the end there, a couple of results didn't go their way. But then Valkyries B, of course, they've got that league title. How would they love to get the double and take the mixed plate back to the west of the island with them? I'm sure they would love to do it. Backers C, though, you would probably think that after losing the league, they'll want to get that plate, but they stand a very tough task against the Valkyries B side, who they did play on the last day of the season, and Valkyries did get the better of them. So could the league be a bit of a disheartened to Backers, or could it just be a bit more of an eye-opener to make them go for it this weekend? We'll wait and see. Your umpires for this one are two of our very senior umpires, and that's Louise Corkill and Paul Hunter, and John Whiting is on the tech desk for this game and the game before.
And of course, the times between the games also taking into account the possibility of penalty strokes as well, if indeed neither side in the finals can be separated in 70 minutes. Those are your doubleheader of fixtures on the island this weekend, but we have a trio of Isle of Man national sides on the road this weekend on Saturday in the respective England Hockey Championships. First off, the Isle of Man men's A team. They're going to be competing in the England Hockey Men's Tier 2 Trophy this season. They travel to Lancashire, where they've got a tough task at least, and they had a thrilling game against this team last season. Preston men's first, and it was an 11 goal thriller this last season, Ben, when these two last met, and the Isle of Man side only losing out by 6-5. I mean, if that's anything to go by, could be a great game for the neutral.
Absolutely, it could be a great game for both the neutral and for the Island team as well. How they love to get revenge for just losing out last time. The squad looks really strong. I know you've got the squad in front of you there, Rob, and if we get time, we'll go through it. But it looks a really good, strong squad going across to play that game, and hopefully they'll come back with a win.
Indeed. Well, here is your Alba Men's A squad to face Preston Men's First 11 in the England Hockey Men's Tier 2 Trophy tomorrow. That is going to be captained by Jamie Brown, and then the team includes as well, Shay Christensen, Elliot Reid, Andrew Whiting, Reese Williams, George Powell, Will Hassel, Juan Belando, Oscar Lace, Luis Novo Smith, Tom Titsos, Tom Burrows, Eddie Cayley, and Kyle Gunyon. Elsewhere, they're not the only Isle of Man senior men's national side in action tomorrow, because the Isle of Man men's B are also on the road, this time in the England Hockey Men's Tier 3 Vars. They've got a little bit of a longer journey. They've got to make their way to Triton Men's First 11, and that is a 2:15 pushback tomorrow, Ben.
Yeah, a little bit of a longer trip for the men's B for the Vars, but again, another good, strong squad going across to represent the island. And again, it's really good to see a mixture of all the clubs being represented in all the island squads. We wish them all the best again.
And this is your Alabama men's B squad to face Triton Men's First 11 in the England Hockey Men's Tier 3 Vars tomorrow. It is Lucas Harding, Douglas Quayle, Chris Whiting, Steve Ronan, George Ratcliffe, Liam Taverner, Ronan Santanatolia, Alfie Swales, Ethan Adams, Archie Cayley, Neil Crowe, Andy Harding, Sam Spooner, and the captain, John Verrill. Now, the Isle of Man ladies A team are also in action, and they're coming up against a very familiar adversary from the last few years. They're going to be facing Liverpool Sefton ladies first 11, 2 p.m. tomorrow in the England Hockey Women's Tier 2 Trophy. Ben, they've faced this team 3 times in the last 4 years already as well, so very familiar, but no doubt another tough test, because they haven't always come out on top against this Liverpool Sefton side.
No, they haven't, so definitely for sure that this time they will want to get that win for sure. But again, yeah, they've played each other how many times? 3 to 4 times now. And Liverpool have come out on top. How the Isle of Man would love to just this time please get the win. We really do want them to get it this time, at the fifth time of asking. But again, another great strong squad in my eyes going across, and yeah, all the best of luck again.
And so your Isle of Man Ladies A squad to face Liverpool Sefton Ladies First 11 in the England Hockey Women's Tier 2 Trophy tomorrow is Rachel Overman, Evie Watterson, Ellen Robinson, Macy Krellin, Ella Blakemore, Abby Sutterby, the captain Kim Carney, Imogen Manning, Dulcie Tier, Lucy Quine, Ellen Cleeter, Jessica Loder, Samantha Hassel and Daisy Loder. And just on a more general note as well, Ben, of course, it's not just the senior teams. There are plenty of junior teams and some of the Masters teams, in fact, as well. It's worth saying that are in action throughout the course of the season as well. And regardless of the results sometimes, I mean, even if it sees them either drop out of a competition entirely or drop into the lower level competition, still no doubt a fantastic experience, particularly for some of these younger players coming through who won't at this point have experienced any other style of hockey than what they've seen on the Isle of Man already.
Absolutely, and of course, like you say, the junior squads have been doing really well. The Isle of Man put their first over 35 ladies senior team out this year in the England hockey tier one, or I think it was tier one competition. But yeah, it was a great debut by them, only just losing out to Chester by 3-2, coming back from 3 down as well. And then, of course, the ladies scored that goal in the last minute of the game, but it was just ruled out by the umpires. So massively unfortunate for them there, but a great campaign start for them. And all the senior teams, the Ireland teams, are just going from strength to strength in my eyes, and everything's just looking great at the moment, Manx hockey-wise.
And just finally, Ben, I'm going to ask you about something that's actually the Manx Hockey Association has announced this evening, which is a great bit of news for one of the island's more experienced players. And the Manx Hockey Association has says their head of performance and Castletown Hockey Club member Leslie Shimmin has been selected for the Wales Over 65 squad for the 2026 season. And the 2026 campaign will see the squad take part in a series of international fixtures and tournaments in the likes of Ireland, Belgium and England. And the Manx Hockey Association is congratulating Leslie on her selection and is wishing her every success, and they're looking forward to seeing her representing Wales in the upcoming season. Great news for one of the island's players, Ben.
Absolutely fantastic news. It just broke just as we come on air, which was fantastic to hear. Congratulations to Leslie. She's worked really hard behind the scenes to get up to this position, and for her to be selected is a massive testament to her hard work, and just goes to show that we might be a small island, but we can still mix with the big guns.
Indeed, yes, great to see Leslie Shimmin being involved in the Wales Over 65 squad for the forthcoming season. And if you want to refresh your memory, or need to refresh your memory, catch up on any of the details of the Ireland teams heading off Ireland this weekend, any of the details of the cup finals this weekend, please do head on over to manxradio.com. Ben, thank you very much in the meantime.
Manx Radio Sport.
Turning our attention now to football and what is going to need to be another busy schedule, and of course fixtures piling up across Manx football in the last couple of weeks. No thanks to the poor weather that we've been experiencing across the Isle of Man. Joining us is our football correspondent Tony Mepperman. Tony, last weekend was a real tough one, I imagine, for not just the FA but everyone involved as well. Only a handful of games went ahead from the nearly 30 that we were due to get, and those fixtures are starting to stack up at the moment, but it's the weather. There's very little anyone can do.
Exactly, Robert. There's no point in taking a chance with the pitch, because if you do, you're only going to possibly destroy it. And next week, it's not going to be available anyway. But, you know, fair play to Onchan and Corinthians about the semi-final, because we could have quite easily maybe have got away with it this Saturday. But, you know, it's disrupting the whole league programme. Clubs are sort of sitting out because we're trying to get this cup game out of the way. And with the ball being available on Wednesday evening, Onchan and Corinthians have agreed to play it. So the semi-final will take place at 7 o'clock. And they're really looking forward to that one. And, you know, it's so, so important in the football calendar. But, yeah, tough times at the moment for clubs having continuity of football. And when you look at it, no fixtures next week. There's no fixtures the week after, apart from the Railway Cup. And then we've got to wait till the third, but those fixtures are out.
Indeed. So just to add some clarity for those just catching up, I guess, and haven't seen some of the developments over the last week or so, particularly with regards to the Manx Carstort Railway Cup, we were due to have two semi-finals last weekend. Only one of those took place between Peel and Laxey, with Peel going on to win and book their place in the final. The other semi-final between Onchan and Corinthians, originally due to take place at Onchan as the home side. Earlier that previous week, it was then switched to Corinthians to try and get ahead of the weather, but unfortunately that affected Corinthians' pitch as well. That semi-final is now going to be a midweek fixture next week, on Wednesday the 17th of December at the Bowl in Douglas, a kickoff at 7 p.m. that day if you're looking to stay in tune with what's going on across that remaining Railway Cup semi-final ahead of, hopefully, fingers crossed, touch wood, that the Railway Cup final will take place on its traditional slot on Boxing Day on the 26th of December. Okay, let's take a look then back to league action this weekend across the respective leagues. Starting with Saturday, another full programme is planned for Saturday games, scheduled to get underway from 2 p.m. with one exception, which we'll come to in a moment. We're going to start in the Canada Life Men's Premier League with six fixtures there, Tony. And the obvious one to start with here is one that I'm sure plenty will have an eye on. It is between the current top two in the Premier League, undefeated league leaders Corinthians. They are going to be hosting second placed and defending champions Peel. This has the making of a cracker, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely does, Rob, because a lot of pressure on both sides, I think, because, you know, both of them have missed a little bit of football and haven't had the consistency that they wanted. But certainly Peel, with that performance against Laxey, was absolutely fantastic. And Thomas Brown, take your hat off. Great performance by him. First goal belter. Two mistakes allowed him to complete his hat-trick. But all the way through the game, he was a pain to Laxey's defence to try and deal with, and just all round it was a good performance by Peel. But I'm not too sure where Matthew Woods is at the moment injury wise because it seemed quite heavy, that challenge that he received, and he came off and I didn't see him around for a while, so whether he went to hospital or what, I'm not too sure. But speedy recovery for him, and hopefully plays tomorrow afternoon. But you know, Corinthians, they've got players back in the squad as well. Ryan Burns is back, so I just wonder what Ben Qualtro is going to do at the back, because he's got Darren Kane, he's also got Baron Collie, he's got Stewie Smith in there, he's got Ryan Burns. He can sort of pick whatever sort of defence he wants, and Matthew Quirkengold's playing really well. Sean Doyle, whether he plays, he's been back in training. Sean is, I don't know if he's 100% fit, but I think you'd have to pick him. But Declan Blake in midfield, Josh Ridings is back in the squad as well. And when you just look at through the team, they're working exceptionally hard, Corinthians, at the moment. But Peel, probably on current form, you just sort of fancy them. But we'll wait and see how it goes tomorrow afternoon.
Indeed, yes, Corinthians 7 points clear and undefeated at the top, but Peel, of course, with two games in hand as well and only lost the once this season. Had a bit of a stuttering start by their standards, didn't they, Peel? But have really seemed to take it up a few gears over the last few weeks.
Yeah, they have, and Peter Kenyuk's changed it around a little bit, and I noticed a couple of changes last week, and it worked well for him. But, you know, with having Rick Holden there alongside him, just his advice is so valuable. And there's some really good people involved at Peel Football Club. And I think whatever blip that they had, and you're spot on with it, Rob, it seems to have gone away. And it's tied in nicely with the return of Thomas Brown. And if you're creating chances, Thomas is going to finish them. There's no doubt about it. And that's something Corinthians are going to have to look after tomorrow.
Outside of that top of the table clash, then over at Gary Moore, Union Mills are due to take on Foxdale. And Foxdale, it's been a long old time since Foxdale had anything resembling a clear run of fixtures, given the weather conditions we've had and the torrid time that their home ground of Billygo Park has had over recent weeks as well. So Foxdale, after only the nine games they've played so far, still with just that 1 point languishing at the bottom, still looking for that first win of the season. Heading to a Union Mills side, Tony, that sat there in 10th at the moment, two places above the drop zone, but 4 points clear at the moment.
Yeah, I think Union Mills will look at this one and say, well, we should get the points. Ryan Kelly, I just don't know what squad he's going to have, because one or two key players have been missing. I know notice Nathan Yates is back in the squad, which is good. Owen Quayle, if he's alongside him, will keep things nice and tight. But Jordan Crawley's the main one, I think, and they need his influence in that midfield. And then if Tyler Hughes is sort of playing, and Jack Murray as well, then, you know, they've got a real good chance. But Foxdale, as you say, and all pitches on the island have been struggling, not just Billy Goat. And I'm pretty certain that Alan Lemaire and the team have got out there this week and done as much work as they can on the pitch, cut the grass, and have it prepared, ready tomorrow. The news I've heard is pretty good, but I think Union Mills here will take the points.
Down in the south of the island, Rushen United will start the weekend in sixth at the moment, just 1 point behind St Mary's above them. In fact, only 6 points separating second right down to sixth at the moment, so Peel in second. Rushen United, they're going to be at home against Douglas High School. All boys who are still just trying to climb out the bottom two, Tony, and they're 2 points from safety at the moment.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. I think Rushen have just got to sort of forget the sort of disappointment of not qualifying for the Railway Cup, because they thought they were going to do it. But unfortunately, that game towards the end of the sort of qualification time against St John's just cost them dearly. But, you know, they're still a good side. they've got good young players in there. Joe Kelly's one of them. But I like, you know, the way the older players have come in and sort of brought them through. I've noticed that a couple of times I've watched Russian this season. Dean Kern's been in good form in goal. And I just feel that Douglas High School old boys, yes, they'd love to sort of get some points out of this one. But I think it's tough going for old boys, and that's why I go with Russian.
Up in the north of the island, Laxey in third at the moment. Only 2 points off Peel in second. Still going strong this season are Laxey. They've got a journey to Andrus playing fields to play an Ayr United team that, again, as we've spoken about a couple of times, Tony, by their high standards, not quite hitting the heights I'm sure they'd be hoping for at the moment. Down in eighth at the moment on 15 points here. But from Laxey's perspective, yes, they may be 9 points clear of Ayr United, but given the quality that those Ayr United players that you've picked out on numerous occasions can show when they're on form as well, how careful do Laxey have to be with this one?
You have to be, and I think with Ayr United, it's just a way of bringing young players through, and I've got to say it's unbelievable when I look at Ben Fox. Yesterday was in hospital, and tomorrow he's going to be fit to play football, which is incredible, speaking to him today. But I just feel that Phil Quayle's team there have just got to keep chipping away. Laxey's, it's not going to be easy. Laxey let themselves down last week, so I'm pretty certain that Johnny Palmer will have read the right act to them on the training sessions this week. And just deep down defensively, they weren't strong enough. I noticed Cameron Avery got injured right at the start of the game, so hopefully he's fit enough to come back in, because his partnership with Tom Smith or Tom Kenny, whoever, has always been pretty solid. And I think Pickering was tremendous in goal for Laxey last week. But just up front, they couldn't capitalise. Ed Canner had a chance with a couple of good goals, but just Ben Wasser as well. That partnership will build, and I'm going to go for Laxey just to sneak it against Ayr.
And another team right on the coattails of Laxey, as they have been for much of the start of this season, is Onchan in fourth at the moment, only 2 points off Laxey. They've also got a trip north as well. They're going to be heading to Ramsey, Tony. And Ramsey, 11 points after 10 games for them.
Yeah, and I think with Ramsey, they'll be disappointed where they are, because they expected to, you know, at least get close to the Railway Cup, but they haven't been able to do it. So Anthony Cooper and Andy Perry have just got to sort of have a look at the squad and see where they can tinker with it. It has changed an awful lot during games, because I've noticed I look at one squad one week, I look at it the following week, and it's nowhere near what played the week before. So I don't know whether people aren't available, work commitments or what. I'm not too sure. But Ramsey, I think, would love to do something against Onchan, but Onchan are looking at Wednesday, aren't they, when they play in Max Carstow Railway Cup semi-final. They want to get there. And the way they've played this year, they've been a breath of fresh air, Rob, and it just shows you, if you work hard, bring young players through the club, stick with them, let them develop, and that's what's happened, and they're a fine team to watch. I'm going to go for Onchan.
And the sixth and final fixture in the Canada Life Men's Premier League this weekend is a slightly earlier kickoff, and that's going to see St Mary's, who seem to have just quietly slipped into the top five in recent weeks as well, with a good run of form in the grand scheme of things as well. They're going to be hosting St John's United in the early kickoff, this getting underway at 1:45 p.m.
Yeah, and I think, St Mary's are just one of those again as well. New players who have come in, they've looked strong. I think Josh Evans at the back has been tremendous when I've watched him. He's looked really solid, and, you know, just St Mary's will be quietly, I don't know, disappointed with missing out on Railway Cup, but probably accepted it, and they just want to keep the challenge in at the top, and they're capable of beating the top sides like sort of Laxey, Corinthians and Peel. They know that, and in this game I just think St Mary's might be too strong for them.
And again, we'll just come back quickly to the Railway Cup situation and next week, of course. And again, just a reminder for people with that midweek game that's going to be kicking off 7 p.m. at the Bowl on the 17th of December. You did mention as well last weekend, when this was all coming together, that the FA and those involved are trying to make a little bit of a sort of evening occasion of it.
Well, we are. The FA are meeting tonight. It's our Christmas do later on, Rob, so don't keep me too long. Every minute you keep me here, I'm missing out on a beer. But yeah, it's what I'd like to do is, we're going to have a chat with the sponsors tomorrow, but it's keen for Max Carstow to be involved in that. But just in general, we're going to open up the boardroom upstairs, let everyone come up, have a cup of tea, have a mince pie, and just generally take on board, which I think is something, Rob, that maybe we need to look at is, you know, we're always looking to see if we can improve the layout of the fixtures, but I think the semi-finals of the Railway Cup have just got a massive appeal to them. And I think they get lost a little bit when they're with the league programme. So if we can individually play it somewhere, which is going to be under floodlights, then it might just be something that we need to look at. So let's see how it goes on Wednesday. But Onken had the chance to play at the stadium, but they said it's not going to be fit for next week. And ours, we went to Shirt Corinthians and said, well, what about it at the bowl on the Wednesday, the 17th? And they said, what a great idea. Let's give it a go. We're going to charge at the gate. It's going to be £2 entry in. All that money will go to the Craig Hartstrong Foundation. That's something that Onken are keen for, so are Corinthians as well. And let's make a festive game out of it because the next sort of football game we'll have will be the Manx Carstow Railway Cup final.
And whoever meets Peel there, of course, still to be decided as well. And I think you've mentioned it before as well, a big occasion in the Manx footballing calendar.
It's a huge occasion. I absolutely love the day because over the years, Rob, and I'm going back a long, long time being involved in Manx football, I've been down on the pitch on Boxing Day morning with shovels clearing snow off it to get the game on, and so have the both teams. It's just an amazing occasion. And if the pitch, well, we know the pitch is going to be playable. Before on grass, it wasn't. And Christmas Day, you'd be getting phone calls saying, is the game going to be on? Yes, it's going to be on now because it's at the bowl. So I think it's a huge, huge fixture. And then we could all go and have a beer afterwards, talk about the game of football. But unfortunately, we'll only have one Premiership game to watch in England this year because there's no football apart from Manchester United and whoever they're playing.
There's a little bit of a change, isn't there? Well, Tony will be back in just a couple of moments because, of course, we do have to take a look through the action that's going to be taking place in Ardern and Drugger Limited Division 2 across the Combinations League, of course, this weekend. There'll be big questions, I suppose. Can Paul Rose United keep up that phenomenal run in Combination 2, that 100% win record? The only team in the senior men's divisions to still be managing that. It's still all battle at the top of Division 2, as mentioned, between Colby and Castletown, only one of those in action this weekend. And, of course, on Sunday as well, there'll be a triple header of women's games taking place, two more in the Canada Life Women's Floodlit Cup and also the Canada Life Women's League as well. That's going to see a battle between West and South as well. That is all to come though in the next few minutes, and straight after the news we'll be back into the footballing action. Don't go away.
Manx Radio Sport.
Welcome back to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. We're continuing our look at the latest football action that's coming up this weekend. After taking a canter through the Canada Life Men's Premier League fixtures this weekend, we'll turn our attention first off, Tony, to Ardern and Drugger Limited Division 2. Now, four games this weekend. Now, for a bit of context, for those who don't know, we had a new leader installed at the top of the table after last weekend. Castletown and Colby have been battling away for supremacy, and Castletown seeing their game called off last weekend with that horrible weather that the island experienced, and that allowed Colby the chance to step in and take top spot at least temporarily, which they did with a 3-0 win over Douglas and District. Well, Colby are in action this weekend and could stretch further clear with Castletown on a rest week. Tony, let's take a look through the four fixtures, and we'll start with Colby. They're up against the Douglas Royal side that are mid-table at the moment, and potentially a big chance for Colby, even though they'll have played a couple of games more, to, I suppose, put the pressure back on Castletown.
Yeah, it is. It's get the games played and get the points, and that's what they've been doing. Certainly Colby, Carl Hickey, you've got Jordan Edge as well, been scoring plenty of goals. So it's been a nice sort of time for them the last three or four games. But against Douglas Royal, I wouldn't bet against that one, you know, because Douglas Royal has certainly improved. They're scoring goals all round. You know, they're mixing it with forward scoring. Midfielders are having a go as well. So, you know, fair play to them, and some young players coming through into the system. But I just think Douglas Royal just might find it a little bit more difficult against the top side at the moment. That's Colby.
Elsewhere, two other sides pushing toward the top at the moment, although some distance off the top two at the moment. Paul Rose United in fourth and Moraine in fifth, Tony.
Yeah, this is a heck of a game, this one, because I think there's more at stake for these two sides because, you know, Paul Rose, you know, fancy their chances as well with Moraine. Slow start, you know, have not played as many games as the teams around them. So I think David Prue's team just got to keep chipping away. Paul Rose's pitch will be fine with the weather that we've had of late. And I know most pitches will have dried up a little bit this week. But this one's got a right sort of battle on its hands. And I think it's Moraine who are just going to sneak this one.
Elsewhere, Ramsey Centre and Old Boys, who hammered Malou 10-1 last week, they're going to be hosting St George's.
Yeah, and in good form, and Ramsey Centre know that they've just got to keep winning away, because this Division 2 has turned out very interesting, because when you look at it, there's only 10 teams in it, but you know, there's four or five there who have got a great chance of getting promoted. And against St George's, you'd expect Ramsey Centre to win, and after that last game where they did score 10, just shows you what sort of form they're in. So I'm going for Ramsey Centre.
And the team that Ramsey sent to beat Malou, well, they'll be looking to put last week's result firmly behind them when they host Governors Athletic. Governors, along with Douglas and District, they're the two teams still searching for that first win of the season.
Yeah, and I think the big problem with Malou is having the strongest team out, and that's something that they've got to work on. Is again, I think it's probably work commitments that players aren't able to make it. And Governors Athletic would love to have a win, because they keep sort of working away, and they've got a good side there. They bond really well together, a good group of lads who sort of good friendship going, and it sort of shows a little bit on the pitch now and then. But you know, when you come across a quality team and someone who can score goals like Malou have, they've got sort of players there, whether the Krippners sort of amongst the goals, Paddy Cooper can score goals, I think Malou will just take victory.
Very quickly, let's take a look at the combination leagues, Tony. Six games in combination one this weekend.
Yeah, Foxtel against Union Mills. I'm going to go for Union Mills to win that. Peel against Corinthians. This will be a battle and a half. Corinthians trying to stay in touch with Ramsey. I'm going to go for Corinthians to win. Douglas High School Old Boys against Rushen. Rushen have just got to keep winning to stay in touch at the top of the table. But Old Boys, if they do have their strongest team out, can make it difficult, but I'll go for Rushen. Laxey against Ayr United. I'm going to go for Laxey to win. Onken against Ramsey should be a battle and a half, but Ramsey are the team at the top. They're the team to take the points away from. I'm going to go for Ramsey to win. And St John's against St Mary's. I'm going to go for St Mary's to win.
And over in Ardern and Drug Unlimited, combination two, six games there this weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Governors Athletic to beat Malou. Douglas and District against Jims. Go for Jims. Douglas Royal, who play Colby. I'm going to go for Colby to win. Michael United against Castletown. Castletown to take victory. Moran against Pulrose. Pulrose still unbeaten. Pulrose to win. And Douglas Athletic against the Georges. I think Douglas Athletic will win that one.
And quickly as well, on Sunday, we have a trio of women's games due to take place on Sunday. Two of those in the Canada Life Women's Floodlit Cup, which continues at the Bowl in Douglas. Onken versus Corinthians, and then following that, Union Mills versus Malou.
Yeah, Onken have been in good form of late, and you know, they'll make it difficult against Corinthians. But Corinthians, again, have brought one or two younger players in, scoring goals, which is always great to see on their debuts. And I think Corinthians will beat Onken. Union Mills against Malou. Union Mills had a good chance last week against Rushen, but it didn't go to plan. And I think this week it'll be a little bit more difficult. But Malou, I know, have been short of numbers lately, Rob. So whether they've got a full-strength team, I'm not too sure. But I'll go for Malou just to win it. And the Canada Life League, this is just a rearranged game where Peel have missed out on a few. And against Rushen United, Peel should win it. And I think Rushen United's girls will just love playing down at Peel, because the pitch condition at the moment, even with all that weather we've had, has been absolutely fantastic. And credit to the ground staff.
Excellent. Tony Meppen, thank you very much indeed.
Manx Radio Sport.
Turning our attention to rugby, and with Christmas fast approaching, there's still opportunities for the Alamans rugby sides to get vital points on the board before a break over the festive period. Furthermore, there's another busy weekend of Manx rugby scheduled on Saturday. Douglas will host Sandbach at Portishead in a mouthwatering clash between two of the current title contenders in Regional 2 North West. Meanwhile, Vagabonds, Vagabonds Ladies and Ramsey all have respective home games tomorrow in what will be their last respective games of the calendar year. As always, to analyse what's in store this weekend, I've been speaking this week with our rugby correspondent, Dave Christian. So looking ahead to the latest rugby action this weekend, rugby very much, I suppose, coming to the final stages of the calendar year ahead of the Christmas break and, of course, the turn of the year going into 2026. But a busy schedule planned this weekend once again. And we're going to start with Douglas, who've been thoroughly impressive throughout the Regional 2 North West campaign so far. Went into last weekend top of the table, but a late defeat at the hands of West Park St Helens actually saw them drop down to fourth. But they could regain their dominance at the top of the table if things go their way this weekend, Dave, and it's a mouth-watering clash on the cards because their fellow title contenders, as it stands at the very least, Sandbach, are coming to Portishead this weekend. This could be a cracker, couldn't it?
Yeah, it was. Last week I was on the touchline at Portishead, and I was watching the Manx Shield game. Harry Hewson's dad, Tim, was keeping me updated with the score, and it wasn't looking good. Actually, the West Park went up by quite a bit, and Douglas had to chase the game. They finally chased, got a point ahead with a few minutes to go, but unfortunately, West Park kicked a late penalty, and that gave them the points. No news of any injuries coming out of that game, so I'm going to guess that they're going to be at full strength, and on that basis, they should be winning at home. They give Sandbach a real close run on the way leg. They were up with 10 minutes to spare, and then Sandbach scored three late tries. They not only stole the lead, but also stole the game, gave Sandbach a bonus point, and didn't give Douglas anything from it. So it was a difficult one for them to take that. They're very confident that they can take them at Portichet. And the other thing is that statistically, it's the home side always wins in these games. You can't always get your best side away. We're in the Christmas party season. Sandbach will know that the game's important for them, but, and a big but here, Douglas will be at full strength, home advantage, a decent crowd. I think they must start as favourites for the game.
And Douglas, of course, going into the new year, still have that game in hand to fulfil as well going into the new year. So Douglas still, even if they were to suffer some sort of setback this weekend, I'm sure they'll look to a good account of themselves, but they do still have that little bit of wiggle room in terms of the battle towards the top between those several teams that are up there.
Yeah, I mean, that game, I've had a little cast ahead on the fixture list. I spotted it on the 24th of January. That's when it's been set down for. It's away at Burnage. It's an all-weather surface, so that's not going to affect them. Or the weather's not going to affect them that weekend. It is an away game, though. Burnage's never an easy place to go, but Douglas have been winning away from home this season, and I don't see anything not continuing for them that way. But results can be strange beasts, and no one predicted that one last week with West Park St Helens, and I'm not going to get too excited just yet. I've been pouring a little bit of water on the flames since the start of the season, really, when they started winning, and I don't want to get too giddy now, otherwise the players might pick up on that giddiness too. So keep our fingers crossed for them. Let's hope a win against Sandbach would be just a job for them. Game in hand would see them clear at the top by either 2 or 3 points, depending on other results.
You've referenced this already before as well. How important that the likes of Phil Kringle and his players, they're not entertaining any sort of conversation about what could be happening toward the end of the season, because that is so far away. You know, how important would, if Douglas were to come out on top this weekend, how important could it be, though, going into, let's call it, the second half of the season?
Yeah, they've got tricky away game, North Ribblesdale, right at the end of the season, and North Rib are up there. They're one of the teams in contention. The other one is Vale of Lune. I think Douglas have to go to Vale of Lune as well, so it's by no means a done deal, this. They've got to keep their pedal to the metal and keep focusing on what's in front of them game by game and just pick them off one by one. And if they can manage to keep calm and do that, I think things should be set up nicely towards the end of the season. But the last game of the season away at North Rib, that could be a championship decider, could be a promotion decider, or it could be nothing.
Long way to go before we get to that potential possibility. County 3 ADM Lancashire and Cheshire then, so both Ramsey and Vagabonds will have home ties to round out 2025. Let's start with Ramsey in the earlier kickoff at Morrow Park. They're going to be hosting Ashton under Lyne this weekend. Ramsey, it has been a tough return for them, a bit of a baptism of fire, if you like, on their return to County 3 ADM. So what can we maybe, or what can Ramsey expect, I should say, against this Ashton under Lyne side?
Well, I've been looking at the permutations because the league's going to split at some stage when the fixtures are completed, and there's a little bit of congestion in the middle of the table, but Ashton under Lyne are clear of that. I think Ashton under Lyne will be in the top half next season no matter what happens. Maybe they might take their eye off the ball a little bit for this game. For Ramsey, a massive injury list, and we're hoping that potentially Jake Richmond might be back this week. The good news is Rory Nicholson's made himself available, as far as I understand it, at least. So barring any injuries in training, Rory should be there to help shore up the front row. Outside of that, not really sure just at this stage. We know the halfbacks are secure, Dan Kelly and Tom Moffat, 9 and 10. They should be playing. But out wide is a little bit more of a question mark. We've got Will Millsop, he's out injured. He picked up a head knock a couple of weeks ago. Josh Leese is still out with his shoulder injury. And missing just a couple of bodies in the back line. And if we can get some of those players back, they're going to give a good account of themselves. Duckenfield last week, the squad which I felt was a little bit undergunned, went away. They went 26-0 down in less than 20 minutes, lost 26-8 and dominated the last hour of the game, but just didn't put away their chances. The players were disappointed by that last Saturday night. Duckenfield were mightily impressed because they were expecting a walk in the park and a cricket score after what happened in the first 20 minutes, but it never went their way, and Ramsey kept plugging away, and the elusive first win will come. I suspect, however, it won't be this weekend against Ashton-under-Lyne.
You're someone who knows those in the Ramsey camp well, given this return to Counties 3, and results-wise, at the very least, it's been tough for them. But what's the mood like in the Ramsey camp? Is there a feeling based a lot around the results, or is there positivity elsewhere that people are finding?
No, there's a tremendous amount of positivity, Rob. The results, I guess the one that sticks out is the Bury result, where they lost 116-0. That was a weekend of an in-club wedding. Couldn't get the side they wanted to go away, and it was very disappointing for everybody. But barring that result, they've been very competitive in all their games, and all it takes is a look at the guys out on the field to see how competitive they really are. And that win will not be far away. And post-Christmas, when the league splits, they're going to get regular games at a much more level playing field. I think those the elusive win will come, depend on who it's against, but it'll definitely come.
Another Ireland side looking for to get another win on the board are the fellow Manx side just above Ramsey. They're Vagabonds. They're at home at Bala Fletcher up against Clitheroe this weekend. Similar question around Vagabonds, Dave. I suppose, where do they see progress coming from to try and just get more points on the board?
Yeah, well, the Vagas have had a win. They've had two draws as well, so they're not too far away. They beat Duckenfield. They drew against Hoylake. They drew against Ramsey in the 0-0 thriller at the Murrick. You know, the defence is excellent. The front five are excellent. They just need to perhaps look to score a few more points. Where that'll come from, difficult to say. Cal Donnell is a figure for me that's been missing a lot this season. Don't know what the issues are there, but I think he's only played once or twice. He's very good in the centre, runs a straight line. He's a big lad, difficult to put down. And for him to make holes in the defence for the nippier players, the likes of Cam Finlay and Dan Bonwick, to nip through is really perhaps what they need. They've got pace out wide as well. Rob Pease is a veteran, but he's quick enough. And the youngster at fullback, Theo Head, really impressed me a couple of weeks ago. Quality looking player, and if they can hang in there and let him develop, he's going to be one to watch for the future.
And turning to the fourth and final game this weekend, we mentioned Vagabonds up against Clitheroe and Counties 3 8am at Bala Fletcher. It's part of a double header there this weekend, because in women's NC2 North South, Vagabonds ladies will round out 2025 with a home tie against Aldwinians. And Dave, two wins from their opening four for Vagabonds ladies this season. They have a game in hand as well, and from what I understand, if they were to get a victory this weekend, that could in theory put themselves back in towards contention at the top.
Yeah, indeed. They're not that many points away from being up there, but the two form sides, Sale and Winnington Park, those two sides are up there, and you can't really see past them. Winnington Park, I think Vagas will be disappointed with. They ran up in a big opening sector at Bala Fletcher in the first game, and Vagas then gradually reeled them back in the second half and weren't that far away from causing a bit of an upset. Sale FC at the top, they're unbeaten after, I think, seven games. They looked to be in a different class when they were here, and those two have got to be your promotion favourites. But I think Vagas have got a reasonable chance here. Aldwinians are bottom. They haven't won all season. Vagabonds are at home. It is the Christmas party season, but I think the girls will be focused on these games because they don't get that many of them. And the Vagabonds talent machine has unearthed potentially another. We've had Merlin Campbell come through. We had Isla Kerfey come through. We've had Catherine Crane come through. Alana Pritchard briefly before she went off for mixed martial arts. Well, Freya Crowe has scored at least one try in every game so far this season. She really has got a set of wheels on her. Get her the ball in a little bit of space outside and she's gone. There's no catching her. And the rest of the team can build around that. The penetration that perhaps they need is in the midfield. Jules Harrison has been missing. She's taken a child break. She's just starting to come back into the game, and you can tell the difference when she's in there carrying the ball. She played a couple of games off the bench and really does carry the ball, run hard and straight. That sucks in defenders and creates space for the likes of Freya outside. So Vagas have got the makings of a decent team here, and Aldwinians are bottom, playing away from home. This should be a Vagabonds win.
Just going off what you're saying there, and a few names you mentioned that have excelled and started to shine really in this Vagabonds ladies team, it's a conversation we've had over the last year or two, particularly a lot lot of newer players coming into the club and coming into the sport, as it were, and there just seems to be this constant positive atmosphere these players are coming into, who've in some cases never picked up a rugby ball before, and all of a sudden they've found themselves a community. What do you think that says, not just about the playing group, but also the coaches there at Vagabonds as well, that they're providing a welcoming environment for these players to not just get involved, but excel?
Yeah, I'm having a wry smile, Rob, because once a year I go for a couple of beers with Vagabonds ladies, and you only need to see them in action in a bar afterwards to see what a tight-knit group they are, how they look after each other, and constantly taking the mickey out of each other, and that's a sign of a great team. There's a brilliant team spirit being fostered, and that will carry itself onto the field. You don't tend to see them shouting at each other, and sometimes you see that with teams. If the result's not going their way, they'll turn a little bit and chirp away at each other. Never see that with Vagabonds ladies. They are a really, really tight team. The coach is up there working hard with them. They've got Kat Beswick up there, and Jack Kane's been coaching for a couple of years now. Those guys know what they're doing, and Vagabonds ladies are responding really, really well. And like I said, the team spirit, you just can't beat it. The girls are playing with smiles on their faces. They're having fun before, during and after the matches. It's brilliant to see.
That is Dave Christian, Manx Radio's rugby correspondent, looking to this weekend's action. After the break, we'll be rounding out Friday Sport Preview this week by taking a look at motorsport and hearing from two Manx road racers who, whilst describing their racing journeys earlier this week, also covered a very important aspect to motorsport that doesn't always have a light shone on it. More on that in just a few minutes.
Manx Radio Sport.
So finally on tonight's programme here on Friday Sport Preview, we're taking a look at motorsport, and two Manx road racers have opened up about how talking therapy has helped them through some of their toughest moments. Grant Thompson and Marcus Simpson shared their experiences at the live recording of the Journey to a Dream podcast at the Queen's Hotel on Douglas Promenade this week. They both reflected on the more difficult side of the sport, with Marcus first telling Beth Espy that after a number of incidents last year, he found he needed some support.
So last year, once I had my big crash up the mountain there, I spoke to a service called Talk Service, sort of put on by the Dan Neen Fund. You know, you go to a counsellor and you speak to them about, you know, different things and stuff. And, you know, like I said before, you know, some of the things that go on with road racing that you may see or whatever, you know, they do have an impact on you. And last year, after what happened last year, you know, I did struggle as the year went on. So, you know, I spoke to somebody about it, and yeah, you know, it's just mental. All I did was talk, but it certainly helped me. So anybody who needs to talk, it's okay to talk, you know, it is. That's all the mental preparation I do, really. Other than that, it's just put the helmet on and give it gas, you know.
What about for you, Grant? I mean, I know obviously over the years that there have been setbacks, you know, you've had to come back from injury and whatever. How do you kind of reset after that sort of thing?
Sort of a bit like what Marcus said, you know, a couple of years back after a few injuries and stuff like that, you know, you do go into a bit of a dark place, and I'll be the first to say I did go and talk to people, you know, to try and pull you out of it, because you sort of get yourself in a bit of a rut that you think that you've got to fight on your own and stuff like that, but you've, you know, like you said, you know, people talk, and that's the best way to get around it, and you've just got to think and keep positive about it. You know, when you have these little chats and that, you think to yourself, oh, I just had a conversation with someone, you know, I could have just rang one of these boys and had a conversation, but you can't get into depth, you know, like it is. You know, you go meet someone and have a talk about them, and you don't know them at all, and you've just given them your whole life story, but you walk out of there and you go, oh, I actually feel a lot better now. And then that's when the steps start making progress, and then you're like, right, now we can concentrate on what we're doing.
That's incredible, though, and I think for anybody listening who may have been in a similar position for whatever reason, it's really heartening to hear people say that is a way forward and something that is available over here.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it is massive. You know, there's like Mark was saying, you know, there's a stigma, especially being a lad. You think, you know, you can't open up to people. And to be fair, I was a victim about it, and I bottled it all up until it was too late. And, you know, it's one of them things. It takes a bigger man to, you know, go and talk about it and get it off your chest, rather than, you know, your mates coming to your funeral a couple of months after it. You know, it's nicer just to get it off your chest, figure out what's going on, and reset.
That was Manx motorcycle racers Marcus Simpson and Grant Thompson speaking to Beth Espy on Manx Radio's Journey to a Dream live podcast from the Queen's Hotel in Douglas early this week. And you'll be able to listen back to that episode in full from Queen's Hotel and Douglas Promenade next week, early next week, as a podcast on the Manx Radio website. Well, thank you so much once again for joining us here on Friday Sport Preview this evening. The sporting action continues on full-time and classifieds tomorrow. But meantime, from the team here at Friday Sport, we say goodbye for now, and we'd also like to wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Manx Radio Sport.